A 2-0 pitch. McCann, left side, base hit. Mountcastle ties it. Mullins will win it. James McCann gives the Orioles their second walk-off win in three nights.
Splendid. Just absolutely fantastic. No wonder voters voted down a new stadium. Anyway, Royals lose last night. It wasn't Cole Reagan's fault, that's for sure. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Bullitt, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. That was the walk-off. We'll talk more Royals in a moment. Many other things to get to, but first we throw out the Dusty, a little bit of sports today.
Yeah, it's a minimal schedule today, but the Bullitt baseball and softball teams are both in action here this afternoon. Bullitt softball, Sylvan Lucas, get at 4 o'clock there in Bullitt, and the baseball team also taking on Sylvan Lucas Lincoln, 4 o'clock doubleheader here on the start time in Bullitt this afternoon. And in golf, Pike Valley and Tipton opening their seasons in Sand Greens at the Chase Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that's a look at what's going on in today's high school sports.
You want to hear my schedule for this week?
Sure.
Okay. Tuesday, baseball at Minneapolis. Wednesday, last night, baseball practice for the youngin. Tonight, baseball games for the oldest. Tomorrow, Friday night, baseball practice for the youngest. Baseball tournament Saturday. Baseball tournament Sunday. Probably something Monday. I don't even know. Like, my world has now been absolutely engulfed by baseball. So, whether I like it or not,
yeah,
got to be in baseball mode now.
It's baseball season.
It's baseball season, but still windy and cold in some situations. But
yeah,
baseball, and more baseball. After a rain delay of over 5 hours, the Royals and Orioles played the rubber match yesterday. Cole Reagan's was absolutely fantastic. 6 1/3, allowed one hit. One hit? Only one bleeping? You know, remember that one?
Yeah.
For Major League. 2 walks and 7 strikeouts. Left with the lead. Royals are up 3-0 going into the eighth. James MacArthur gives up 2. It's 3-2. Will Smith, who I don't know why he's the closer, and I thought that when the Royals signed Will Smith, like I was okay with the signing Will Smith, experienced left-handed guy, but he is trending towards declining as a pitcher. He's not a closer anymore. And so I thought he was going to be a situational left-handed setup man when they signed him, and then next thing I know that he's a closer again. I'm like, okay. His fastball has dropped 2 miles per hour in velocity from last year so far. Now, maybe he'll amp it back up. That's a huge difference. And he's not been good. The bullpen hasn't been good. And the Royals blow it. Will Smith gives up 2 in the 9th. MacArthur gives up 2 in the 8th. And a 3-0 lead dissipates into a 4-3 loss. Starting rotation's been terrific. More on that in a moment. But here's Matt Cotrero on the 9th inning collapse and another tough loss.
Started with a 4-pitch walk. You obviously didn't have the best command. Got the big strikeout of Couser to give us a chance. And then, you know, got behind McCann. I believe that was a 2-0 pitch. So you got to work in better counts. And Will's well aware of that. Anytime you lose a game, it's frustrating. And especially when you get a start like that. But, you know, it all started in the seventh there with the 2 walks as well. So, I mean, we know that we can't issue free passes, especially to a really good team. And that's kind of what bit us.
The Royals have the best starting ERA, the best starting pitching ERA in baseball through 6 games. 1.45. And they have a losing record. 2-4. Well, how is that possible? Royals starters are giving up 6 runs. That's it. Runs in 37 innings. The Royals relievers have given up 14 runs in 15 innings. So why are they 2-4? Pretty simple. Bullpen. Cole Reagans, who's now had 2 starts, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, Michael Wacha, Alec Marsh, they have combined to give up 6 earned runs this year. Will Smith, by himself, in 2 innings of work, has given up 6 runs.
Yeah.
Royals bullpen so far, 15 innings, 23 hits, 7 walks, ERA over 8, responsible for 3 of the Royals' 4 losses. Royals back at home at the K tonight, start a 4-game series with the 1-4 White Sox at 6:40 this evening. That's one of the few teams that aren't very good that's on their schedule early in the year. They need to take advantage of that, and it's a 4-game set. So let's take 3 out of 4. Royals go 3 out of 4 here. They're 5-5, and things are just fine. But if they go 1-3 against the White Sox, you might start, I want to say panic, but you might start setting off the alarms that, okay, well, what's going to happen here? We got to figure some things out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Last night it took until the 9th game, but last night superstar Shohei Ohtani finally hit a home run as a Dodger. I understand he quit betting on his phone in the back of the locker room and then just got out in time to get the home run. I'm joking. So But back to the Royals. I mean, what are you? Do you feel like the Royals are going to figure it out? I mean, obviously, baseball is such a long season. How many times do we see a guy at the end of the year that's a closer that wasn't the closer to start the year? Or, I mean, it happens a lot. The bullpen roles change. Sometimes a starting pitcher goes to the bullpen, ends up being a great piece of the bullpen. Sometimes a guy in the minors comes up in July, August, and he's a huge part of your rotation. I mean, the Royals have to be super, super encouraged by the rotation and what they've seen. It's a vast improvement. The bullpen they addressed, they went out, they traded, they signed free agents, and so far the bullpen just hasn't clicked.
Yeah, it's been a week. I'm not going to panic. Yeah, right. So, but, you know, obviously there's a concern there.
Yeah.
But you just wait, and you got to wait out and see if this is this what the bullpen is. Mm-hmm. Is this what the starting rotation is? Because, I mean, there's been seasons where, you know, your first two, three, four guys might have good starts mm-hmm. at the start of the season, like we were talking about last week with the maybe the offense being behind the pitching and defense a little bit. When these offenses start getting into the flow of things, are your pitchers? They're probably not going to have a 1.45 ERA all year as a combined staff. But what's that going to do? What's going to happen in that realm? So it seems like you know, a lot of years with the Royals, even it's not even just like a whole season thing. Last year was a whole season thing. The pitching was bad just all around. But it seems like, even during the season, there's ebbs and flows. Like one part of the season, the offense is going, and mm-hmm. then one part of the season, the bullpen just shutting everybody down. Mm-hmm. And then they just start not being good for a while. So it is the ultimate marathon of a sport. And you got to wait with the ebbs and flows and see what this is going to do. Because like you said, Will Smith might not be the closer 2 weeks from now. Who knows how that's going to be? Quintero said last night he still feels comfortable with Will Smith as a closer. Well, he's not going to
another one or two. He won't
leave that right now. But right. If this happens, yeah, like you said, another time or two times again, then I'm not probably going to feel comfortable, and he's probably not either. So, yeah, I think wait it out and see. But that obviously is the biggest issue with the team right now.
Listen, the answer is obvious. Jordan Lyles has a 0.00 ERA. Just let him be the closer. I mean, he was so awesome as a starter last year. Okay, maybe not. Who knows? Maybe he would be a good closer. I don't know.
You might maybe give him a shot. Maybe he'll be Wade Davis. And
maybe
find
so.
Out that that's what he's supposed to be doing.
That's right. He could have missed his calling. He's supposed to be a bullpen specialist. You know, John Schreiber is more of a setup guy. He's three innings, hasn't given up a run. You know, that might be somebody to consider. He's got good stuff. You know, I know James MacArthur is a guy that they would like to, I think, develop into their closer, but the early returns, not so good. So that's there's no doubt, you know, it's not for a lack of trying and addressing the bullpen issues. It hasn't clicked yet. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll figure some things out. I like some of the pieces they picked up. But, I mean, when they first signed Will Smith and then they said something about being a closer, I was like, those days are gone, man. He ain't a closer anymore. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I think they just thought, well, you know, experience-wise, we'll start with him as a closer. And there's no doubt they're having discussions right now as to, okay, how long do we go with the leash on Will Smith? Will he figure this out? Let's see. So the NCAA tournament, down to the Final Four on the men's side. And remember before the tournament began, I said, here's how you can pick out your national champ on your bracket. Okay. How many teams do you have left in your bracket? Did you get any Final Four teams right?
I did.
Did you have UConn?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have UConn winning all?
No, I had Houston.
By the way, where are we on our standings on our bracket? Did you go over that?
Yeah, let me pull that up because I want to see. Yeah. It's right there. Where,
oh, that's right. You said I'm second and I need if Purdue wins out, I probably win it, but if Purdue doesn't.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. So I had UConn. That's the only one that I have left that's in the Final Four.
I got Purdue and UConn still.
Most people that are on this, believe it or not, we make fun of Dusty Lowry.
Yeah.
He had NC State in the Final Four. That's the only team he had in the Final Four, so his bracket don't look good otherwise.
Well, at least got that. You know. Yeah, that's one of those things.
I was like, wait, who picked NC State?
So that's kind of like one of those things where, you know, we lost 16-4, but I had two hits and drove in three of the four runs, and we lost by 12. But congrats, Dusty Lowry. That is pretty cool, though, that he got that one right.
Yeah, I would have never guessed anybody on this list had NC State.
Listen, I had NC State losing first round. So.
Yeah.
But I went through this before the tournament began, and I said, listen, if you're going to pick your national champion, this is kind of interesting. And I kept this sheet of paper, and now I have it going into the Final Four. And if you think NC State's going to win or Alabama's going to win the national championship, I've got evidence to prove otherwise. Since Ken Palma Analytics began in 2002, every national champion but one, so in the last 22 years, only one exception, but every national champion since 2002 has been top 25 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. There were eight teams that had that going into this tournament. Arizona, out. Auburn, out. Creighton, out. Houston, out. Although, see, Houston, if Shedd didn't get hurt, I think they'd still be playing, perhaps. Marquette, out. North Carolina, out. The only two remaining? Connecticut and Purdue. So I'll stick with my predictions. I'm going with the one seeds in chalk, Connecticut and Purdue, to win the Final Four. I think NC State's run is done, although they're playing with house money and so forth and so on. I don't think Alabama's beaten UConn, although UConn got arriving late because of plane issues. Maybe that'll help Alabama's chances. Alabama's got some analytical guru, so maybe he can figure out how to slow down Connecticut, and he very well, maybe Alabama will pull off the shocker. Usually the shockers happen when nobody gives you a chance at all. I mean, nobody thought NC State was going to go to the Final Four. Nobody thought NC State was going to win five games in the ACC tournament. Some people thought their coach was going to get fired, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we get to the Final Four and we might get the one Final Four matchup. We say, you know what, there's where the upset is. And everybody's looking this way. And it's the other one that, you know, I'm sitting here. I think a lot of people are going, NC State might be able to beat Purdue. They got DJ Burns, and maybe he can neutralize Edie. Maybe they have a chance. That's an interesting matchup. But I don't see anybody giving Alabama a chance. And maybe they're going to pull off the shocker. You know?
Yeah.
You know, Wisconsin beat Kentucky when Kentucky was undefeated. I remember going in that Final Four. Well, this Duke's the team that could give Kentucky maybe the toughest game. And looked right past Wisconsin. And Wisconsin beat Kentucky, and then Duke beat Wisconsin for the mm-hmm. championship. So perhaps that's the deal. But the analytics say Connecticut and Purdue are the only two teams left that are going to win the title, which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, beginning this tournament, that's what people would have thought too, right? Like those were the two teams, I think, that a lot of them, obviously, and Houston, yeah, those three were the ones that were in yeah. most brackets in the Final Four, probably.
Absolutely.
With what we had, so.
Right.
Yeah, there are definitely opportunities there for UConn and Purdue that looked better than Bama and NC State.
That's for sure. After a season ended with a first-round NIT loss, K-State has lost three players at the transfer portal. We've talked about that yesterday. Cam Carter's going to LSU. Dorian Finister, I don't think he's picked anything yet. Jarrell Cobert entered the transfer portal the other day. Good news came yesterday for Coach Tang's club as they signed their first transfer, and it's a pretty good one. Former Michigan guard Doug, spelled D-U-G. Doug McDaniel. McDaniel played two seasons for the Wolverines. Past season, he led the team at 16 points a game, almost five assists, shot just under 37% for three-point land. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining when he heads to Manhattan. He's a good passer. He can shoot it. He can drive it. It's a really good pickup for Jerome Tang.
Yeah, I think he's probably a better distributor than Tyler Perry yes. was, but also Tyler Perry wasn't expected to play point guard as much as he did.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see if Quest Glover comes back healthy and how they can mix McDaniel in with him. And if this guy, Glover, ends up being what they think he is, then that could be a heck of a tandem in the backcourt for K-State. So I'm pretty excited about it for sure.
You know, I saw the video where he announced his commitment, and I was a little bit confused. Because I see it, and I'm like, why is Bill Self
yeah.
in a commitment video, and it's just him saying great day to be a Wildcat or something like that?
Yeah.
And I admit, I see Ryan Wallace posted this here, and I actually agree with him because it was my first thought immediately. That adds to the little brother syndrome. You
sure.
wonder where
yeah.
you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, even in a commitment freaking video,
yeah.
you've got Bill Self. You just help promote Bill Self there.
Yeah.
Because you know it wasn't doctored, but they just took the clip of what he said. And so Ryan Wallace says maybe it's a non-issue for most, but really hoping McDaniel's video wasn't K-State produced. Simply no need nor good reason to feature anything or anyone other representation of your future program and school in a commitment video. It's distracting and tacky, and it's a buzzkill. And I kind of agree.
Yeah.
That was my first reaction as well. I don't think K-State produced
K-State doesn't. The schools typically don't produce those type
no,
of videos.
I wouldn't think so. No.
I would guess that there's like a Tipton edits out there that does a lot of that stuff. It's usually somebody that those players know that put all those things together for them.
Right.
I highly, highly doubt K-State had anything to do with producing that video.
I would highly doubt it as well, but I didn't like it. That's for sure.
And I think they would put Jerome Tang saying it's a great day to be a Wildcat if they did it.
Yes.
Personally, I think.
Yeah, if K-State produced it, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a picture of Kelvin Herrera, Wade Davis, and Greg Holland in a picture saying, "We miss you guys."
Yeah.
Well, not now. They're One's a mayor of Dominican Republic or something, but
yeah.
But yeah, that was the shutdown bullpen. And then, of course, you had the year where Ryan Madsen was in there and was pretty good there for a while, too. So, yeah, those were the good old days for the Royals bullpen. That's why I remember we talked about enjoy this, because this might be the best bullpen, one of the best of all time.
It was. Yeah.
Statistically, it was. We talked KU. They had a couple big-time transfers that can shoot, and Riley Kugel from Florida and Zeke Mayo from South Dakota State, who was a Summit League Player of the Year. They both can shoot the three, and they're really good shooters, and they kind of combo guards in some cases. So Kansas has done very well in the portal already, but this is big for Jerome Tang and K-State to get Doug McDaniel, whether there's Bill Self in the video or not. It's a pretty big thing.
Absolutely.
One other college hoops note. Indiana State, who was left out of the tournament, that was the one that was on the bubble I wish would have got in. They have a chance to win the NIT championship tonight at Hinkle Fieldhouse there in their home state. They'll take on Seton Hall, title game at 6 o'clock ESPN, if you still care about the no-interest tournament. It's funny, my oldest asked me the other day, he said, because my youngest, I think, was asking my oldest, and then my oldest asked me, he said, what's the NIT stand for? And I said, come on, it's a no-interest tournament. and you're serious. I said, it's National Invitational Tournament.
Yeah, the not-invited tournament.
Yeah, that's another one, too.
Yeah.
The Texans acquired wide receiver Stephon Diggs from the Bills for second and fifth-round picks in a 25 draft and a sixth-rounder in this month's NFL draft. Over his four seasons with the Bills, Diggs led the team 445 receptions. He led Buffalo with just under 1,200 yards receiving a season ago. A lot of people are excited about this for the Texans. Obviously, it looks flashy on paper. You know, people talk about how the Chiefs could only get a third-round pick until next year's draft for L'Jarius Sneed. And then, and once again, I have family that says, well, how in the world, why did the Bills give up Diggs for that low of amount? Well, first, there's a couple of reasons. One, he's an older wide receiver. Secondly, I think it's, you take the best offer, it's out there. I think that was the best offer. And he had become a little bit of a problem in the locker room, a little bit of malcontent, not major, but a little bit. And he's a guy who's worried about getting his. And I think the Bills were a little bit tired of it. And they decided, if this isn't working with him, we can't get past the Chiefs with the guy or other people. They have lost a lot of key name players. And my oldest and I were talking about that yesterday, and he said, man, the Bills lost a ton. He goes, they're not going to be that great next year. I said, you know what? Sometimes it's addition by subtraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say they get a lot of money off the books because they're in some problems with the money, because you got Josh Allen's contract that's going to accelerate just like Mahomes has the last couple of years. They're going to have to pay the piper on that one. And it's smart for them to try to go young, and you might have more competition for spots instead of you're a name and you got the spot. So I think the Bills, all of a sudden people are going to give up on the Bills. They still got Josh Allen, and he's pretty talented. They still got some good players. Now, wide receiver is a question mark. Curtis Samuel, they picked up as a free agent, but they lost Gabe Davis to free agency. Stephon Diggs. The Shakur kid, he played very well last year. He's a young receiver they like. So I think the Bills, and they might run the ball a little bit more, perhaps. But I think the Bills will still be solid. It's not the end of the world because they traded Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, another thing with the Diggs thing, and I thought I wanted to look this up before I said it because I wanted to make sure I was right, but you know, it's one of the things that you talked about with Sneed is that the part of that trade was he signs an extension, right?
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs already has 4 years still left on his contract.
And that's what I told my son last night, too. So, I said, they're taking on his contract.
They're taking on not a Tyreek Hill type contract. I think the biggest year there was $19 million in a season, but he's still under contract for four more years. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking on all that money that's already been extended ahead of the 2023 season.
And the Bills had all kinds of financial situations because Josh Allen's contract kicking in and accelerating. So there's a chance to give them some flexibility.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they might not get the draft picks they want, but it's more of the financial flexibility again, like we talked about with Tyreek Hill, back when he was traded, plus all the draft picks, but then also with Jarius Sneed, and of course with this as well. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that up. Another wide receiver, speaking of the Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice spoke for the first time since the Saturday crash on a Dallas highway that injured four people. He said via social media, I quote, "Today I met with Dallas PD investigators regarding Saturday's accident. I take full responsibility for my part in this matter and will continue to cooperate with the necessary authorities. I sincerely apologize to everyone impacted in Saturday's accident," end of quote. Contrary to early reports, Rice was actually leasing the Lamborghini SUV and not the Corvette that was involved in the crash. Police have not released any information about the people they were seeking or if Rice was a suspect in the investigation. Okay, so see, this is what I've been trying to say. When people come out, I said, why don't we let this play out? We don't even know if Rice was in the car. We don't even know if he was a driver. We don't know if his car was stolen. We don't know if it was leased. I think I even said that. We don't know We don't know if he fled the scene because we don't know if he fully was there at all. We have no idea. We don't know if alcohol was involved, drugs are involved. We don't know if it was absolutely a street racing incident for sure. We don't know any of these things. We don't. And now, you know what? The one thing people thought they had right? The Corvette was
his. Which vehicle was his, yeah.
And they didn't even get the 50-50 guess right. And that's what it was. It was a 50-50 guess. Mm-hmm. And so it is, once again, irresponsible journalism and reporting. No surprise there. Now, he says, I take full responsibility for my part in the matter. He doesn't say he was driving. So we don't know that for sure. You can interpret, you can infer, but we do not, based on these statements.
There are definitely things he's not going to say.
Right.
Because his lawyers are advising him not to.
So we could maybe try to assume that he was driving, but technically we don't know that yet.
No.
Okay? He could have been in the Lamborghini encouraging the person to drive it to go faster and heck. I doubt it. I'm just saying that technically we still don't know. But it does, his statement lends to, obviously, he was involved in some respect.
Yeah.
But he owned the Corvette. Nope. Corvette wasn't even his. He didn't own it. And by the way, the Lamborghini he doesn't even own.
Yeah, like one of the stories is saying that it's registered to his name. There's nothing registered to his name.
So where the hell does somebody get that information?
I don't know.
That is called lying.
Yeah.
That is called just throwing it out there and acting, saying that it's registered to make you look like you know what you're talking about and you're credible. And the fact that anybody reported that means you are a liar. Because he don't even own the Lamborghini.
Yeah.
So it's pathetic. It's everybody's in a race to get something first, and then when they get it, when they put something out there first, it doesn't have to be accurate. Then when it's not accurate and they put it out there first, people believe it to be fact because then they move on to another headline and don't go back to the follow-up headlines.
Yeah.
Or read the story as I talked about. Coming up in 30 seconds, could the Chiefs be moving?
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When your vehicle has a problem or needs maintenance, Kiever Brothers is your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Whether you need tires, brakes, batteries, belts, hoses, air conditioning, a transmission, engine, or just an oil change, there's only one thing you need to remember. We fix everything. Kiever Brothers Automotive delivers fast, friendly auto repair, and we fix everything. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieferBrothers.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by our good buddies over at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. So the other day, if you didn't follow this, we'll catch up to speed real quickly. The Jackson County voters, there was a ballot, a vote to extend the 3/8 of a cent sales tax that is currently in place for Jackson County voters to help maintain the situation with Arrowhead and Kauffman there and the Truman Sports Complex. And it was going to be a 40-year or 45-year extension of that tax, and it was voted down. And that the extension of the tax was going to help pay for a brand-new stadium for the Royals downtown or north of Crossroads area, and then, of course, the $800 million renovation to Arrowhead. Chiefs were going to pony up $300 million of that. And it got shot down pretty one-sidedly, 58% to 42%. And so we were talking yesterday, like, what does it mean for the Chiefs and the Royals? Their leases are good through 2030. So it'd be 2031 when they could first move, unless they somehow work out of their leases. But they'd have to build something, or they'd have to go somewhere where it's already built. And we talked about, obviously, the state of Kansas could possibly, well, we know they would be obviously interested. There was a report yesterday saying that Laura Kelly has access to $1 billion that she can immediately put and not even have to ask anybody. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
But 80% of all legalized sports betting, I told some people yesterday that gamble, that do a lot of this sports betting legally, friends of mine, I told them the 80% of the money they spend or lose, I guess, goes to the state of Kansas for a fund to attract professional sports teams in Kansas. They had no idea. I said every 80 cents to every dollar you lose at the with your legalized sports betting in Kansas, 80 cents every dollar is helping try to bring the Chiefs and the Royals to Kansas. They
yeah.
did not know that.
I didn't know it was 80%. I knew it was a high number, and I knew that's
well,
what
I said
actually,
yesterday on the show.
No, what I'm saying was when you said it yesterday on
right.
the show, I didn't realize
yeah,
it was 80%.
I didn't either, by the way.
I knew that it was a high number, and
right.
I knew that that's actually what ended up pushing
yes,
it through in Kansas
right.
was
right.
the attraction of possibly getting the Chiefs or Royals to come to Kansas. I mean, I knew that was the biggest thing that actually finally got the thing pushed through. And so, but I did not know until you said it yesterday that it was 80%.
Yeah, and I think the funny and ironic thing is that Missouri does not have legalized sports betting, so anybody from Missouri that likes to legally sports bet comes into Kansas, they're actually helping possibly move their teams out of their own state, which I think is hilarious because, of course, Kansas is better than Missouri, and everybody knows that. So we talked about, okay, if the Chiefs and the Royals, would they possibly, you know, move north, the Royals in particular, of course. Maybe there's other site, another county, Clay County, maybe ends up, you know, doing this, whatever. You move to the state of Kansas. I threw out Salt Lake City's out there, you know, that wants to have, you know, Utah Jazz. That's all they got professionally out there. They got a soccer team, but not, you know, any of the major sports per se of the NBA. And I overlooked one. Did you see the story today? Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson is supporting a return to Dallas for the Kansas City Chiefs. So wait a minute, I thought they had America's team. After that sales tax was shut down in Jackson County, Missouri, Johnson lobbies for the Chiefs to return to Dallas, which is where the franchise was founded in 1960 before they moved to Kansas City in 1963. Johnson told the Dallas Morning News yesterday, and I quote, "Dallas was named the top sports city in the United States because we played to win." You play to win, but you don't win.
Interesting.
But anywho, as I have said previously, the mayor went on to say, our market is big enough, growing enough, and loves football more than enough to support a second NFL team, especially a franchise and an owner who has deep roots here. And the Hunt family has roots to Texas, of course. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, interesting comments. It's a pipe dream, more than likely. I don't think Jerry Jones will allow, I mean, he might not be able to stop it, but boy, he will fight like tooth and nail not to have another big-time team. And I guarantee you don't want the Chiefs of all places teams to be down there, because he can't even get to a conference title game, let alone get to the Super Bowl. And he's a GM of that team and the owner. But, and in a way, if I didn't have any dog in the fight and the Chiefs weren't my team, I'd be sitting here, if I'm not a Chiefs fan today and I hear this story, I'm like laughing hysterically going, yes, that'd be awesome. Jerry wouldn't even be the best team in his own town or city or area.
Yeah.
But interesting comments from the mayor. Whatever it's worth, I just wanted to share.
Yeah, we like to win. You should tell your NFL team that.
You like to win.
We're about winning or whatever.
What are you winning?
Yeah.
Regular season games. That's it.
They'd have to not be the Dallas Texans. They'd have to either keep the Chiefs' name or figure something new out.
Well, I think it's true that, you know, if the Chiefs moved to Dallas, then Dallas would finally be home to America's team. remember Scott Frost?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's available. No, he's not single. But he's available, more than available. In a story, CBSSports.com, he said, and I quote, "For the first time in my life, I don't know what's next. I'm dying to get back in." You don't see many National Coach of the Year winners as young as Scott Frost, who's only 49 without a job, but these are different times, unique circumstances. He earned multiple coaching honors after leading Central Florida to an undefeated season, New Year's Six Bowl win over Auburn in 17, went back home to Nebraska, as we know, chance to lead his alma mater, and it didn't work out well, 4-21 in one score game, so forth and so on, and there were rumors that he did this, he did that, and whatever, and didn't take his job seriously. There were a lot of rumors about that. Now, he has 15 million reasons to take his time on getting back into this industry. He's in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm sure he has a really nice place. Probably could golf whenever he wants. He's got three kids and so forth and so on. But he wants to get back in. I will say, I'm a little bit surprised he's not back in. I don't know why. I mean, it's not like he did anything horrendous that I am aware of. He just didn't win enough in Nebraska.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would guess maybe he's been a little bit picky because he wants to go into a situation where he maybe doesn't have to start at the bottom again. Like, he could maybe jump into something that could then be the one step away from being a head coach again. That's what I'm guessing is happening. But it was an interesting read. Check it out, CBSSports.com, if you want to see what Scott Frost had to say. But there's one thing that stood out in the article is that he really didn't want to talk about his time at Nebraska.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
But that's where he went, man. That's his alma mater.
It is. And, it's
that's a big reason why you don't want to go back to your alma mater. Because if it works out, you're a hero and a king forever. But if it doesn't, it just ruins everything.
Yeah. I mean, he will likely be the poster child, maybe of all time, of why you don't go back to your alma mater. And it's tough. It ends up going well for a lot of people. It ends up going maybe middle of the road for other people. It ended up as about as bad as you could think it would be for Scott Frost. The only way it'd be worse if he was 0-25 in those games that you talked about that he was 4-21 in. So Yeah, it's I wouldn't want to be talking about it either. And, you know, you have to, obviously that's part of him now, though, too, when he's trying to find jobs. So, you know, as much as he's not going to want to talk about it publicly, he's going to have to answer those questions if he tries to go get a new job. And right. he's going to have to talk about it and say, well, what went wrong and explain why it didn't go like he thought it would or like Nebraska thought it would or wanted it to go with him being from Nebraska as far as playing there and being his alma mater. So, yeah, it's interesting to kind of look at that because UCF's not even the same program it was when he left because they're in the Big 12 now, right? They're not a mid-major, quote, conference-type school anymore, right? And so even places like that, are going to be giving him a deeper, you know, background check, deeper look at what actually happened at Nebraska, and maybe he's not going to get those opportunities because of that. So the landscape has completely changed since the first time he took the job at UCF, like you said.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, we were talking about the transfer portal earlier. This just in, I got it on Twitter. The Chiefs and the Royals have entered the transfer portal. This is fun how people make this one thing I do like about social media, having fun with things. Rob Collins voting yes on Royals starting pitching, voting no on the Royals bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, and we got a big, if you don't know, there's a big yes, no mail-in ballot issue with the bond for the USD 273 school district. So that's a yes, no situation. The Royals and Chiefs thing was a yes, no ballot question. Although they went to the polls to vote, this is a mail-in ballot they're doing here locally. And so it's just funny how people are playing off of the yes-no situations, you know? Hey, something happened very odd in the NBA last night. Have you heard of Malachi Flynn?
Honestly, no, I haven't.
You have any idea what I'm about to tell you about Malachi Flynn in the NBA?
I didn't see it.
Malachi Flynn averages 5 points per game. Just to give you an idea of how teams don't play defense anymore in the NBA, Malachi Flynn, who averages 5 points a game, scored 50 last night off the bench for the Detroit Pistons. And yes, you guessed it, they still lost. He was 18 of 25 from the floor, and he did it from the bench in an 8-point loss to the Hawks last night. He plays for the Pistons, 50-point game, came in averaging 5 points a game. I need to know, now I just thought about this, and I've not done the homework, so my apologies, but I want to see how much his points per game went up, because you average 5.4 a game.
Well, he's probably not playing in every game either.
Right.
So.
You're averaging 5.2.
Of course, the Pistons are bad, so he might be, but.
You average 5.2 a game, and I'm trying to pull this up. And it went up. He was 5.2. He scored 50. He's up to 5.8.
Yeah,
5.8.
So he probably is playing in most.
So he's playing. Then. He's played in this year. He's played in a total of 62 games. So he was with the Raptors, the Knicks, and he's on his third team this year.
Wow,
a guy that's on his third team coming off the bench scored 50. I think Dusty could score 20. I could score 21. Wink, wink. No chance.
Yeah.
Or 19. In the NBA, the way this is. Holy cow.
And there's times where it's like,
it's
just go out. If you can
like
just
pick up ball, man.
Shoot and make a shot, you can score points in tonight's game.
Absolutely.
Now, the playoffs are typically different than that, but
and you may
some
argue,
of these regular season games are like, whoa, man.
You may argue, well, yeah, but can you play defense? You don't have to.
Absolutely not.
In the NBA. Okay. A little facetious.
I'll be a liability defensively, just like James Harden. We're all good.
I have no problem. You know, dribbling the ball alive as long as they don't steal it from me, and then I'll shoot it and jack it. I have no problem. And not get back on defense. I'm the perfect guy for the league. The state of professional golf. It's kind of interesting. A story came out ESPN.com yesterday, and I thought it was very intriguing, especially people that are into golf. You know, you have the whole big thing now with LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour. Four-time major champion Rory McIlroy isn't the only player who believes the current state of men's professional golf with elite players competing on the PGA Tour or on the LIV Golf League is not sustainable. Defending Masters champion John Rahm, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, and other LIV Golf League players said the sport needs to be reunited before too many golf fans turn away for good. Most of the best golfers in the world will play together in next week's Masters at Augusta National Golf Club. It's the first of the four major championships when golfers from the competing circuits will play together. The LIV Golf League will have 13 players, but some of the best in the world, including seven past Master champions, who will be at the Masters next week. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan and members of the policy board, including a guy you might know, Tiger Woods, and other player directors, met with the governor of the Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund in the Bahamas just a few weeks ago. The Public Investment Fund, which has financed the LIV Golf League the past 3 years, is considering making an investment, possibly for as much as $3 billion. And every time I hear the word billion, I think of Austin Powers. Billion dollars. But $3 billion with a B, and PGA Tour Enterprises, the new for-profit entity the PGA Tour formed with Strategic Sports Group earlier this year. And so remember that was a huge shocking development. Like they had agreed to merge and work together, and that the investment fund would basically, you know, be taking over. But Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA, would still be this, and they would still have some control, blah, blah, blah. And that's just kind of disappeared, hasn't it, off the face of the earth?
Yeah.
Because they haven't consummated that relationship at all. And so there's still two different leagues, basically. Mm-hmm. And so Roy McIlroy, who is one of the PGA Tour's most vocal supporters during its battle against LIV Golf, now says the current situation isn't sustainable and that the competing circuits need to find common ground. He said, and I quote, "I think I know this isn't a be-all, end-all, but if you look at the TV ratings of the PGA Tour this year, they're down 20% across the board. That's a fifth. That's big. I would say the numbers on LIV aren't great either in terms of the people tuning in. I just think with the fighting and everything that's went on over the past couple of years, people are just getting really fatigued with all of it, and it's turning people off men's professional golf, and that's not a good thing for anyone." End of quote. First of all, totally agree with Roy McIlroy. And I've said all along, I don't think the two are going to be able to survive. One will have to disappear. I said that the one that's going to disappear, oddly enough, it might sound weird to say this because the one that has billions of dollars, but they're the second one in. The PGA Tour is the first in. LIV Golf doesn't have an amazing, awesome media agreement with anybody.
That's why people aren't watching LIV.
That's exactly right, and That's where I want to go, and I'll let you chime in. That's exactly where I'm going with this. So just because LIV Golf gets some of the best golfers in the world and pays them a lot of money, that doesn't mean people are watching them play, okay? And so what that does is it doesn't really help LIV Golf per se. It's just that they're trying to build something, but nobody's really catching on. They don't have these huge media deals where people are talking about some big, because they don't have the Masters. They don't have these major championships. They're creating something from scratch, and that takes a long time to build. Now, they have enough money to stick with it and try to do it? Possibly, but I don't fully understand LIV Golf's vision. I've said for a while, this is a ploy, okay? It's one, to have control over an entity in the United States through a Saudi Arabia public investment fund, but I've never felt like LIV Golf is going to be there 20 years from now. I even said, I think when we talked about it in the last year or so, I don't think LIV Golf is going to be an entity that is actually going 5 years from now. I think it's all kind of a ploy. It's about getting a little big of a splash. It's about bringing some attention to yourself. And then, yes, maybe I think the end game is that they want to take over golf. And that's the end game. They don't want to stay two entities. LIV Golf doesn't want to stay two entities. They want it to be one entity. The PGA Tour obviously wanted to stay as one entity, and LIV Golf helped break that into two entities. But what you were saying, and that's exactly where I was going, is the reason that golf has the problem is because of LIV Golf. LIV Golf has created this issue because even though they've got all of this money and they throw at people to come play, you don't have any established tournaments. You have nothing. You know, you have NASCAR, you have the Daytona 500. If you have a competing race car circuit, you don't have the Daytona 500.
No.
If you have a competing baseball league, you don't have the World Series. If you have a competing football league, which you do, although not directly against NFL, but you had two leagues last spring that now have merged together. What was it, USFL and XFL?
Yeah.
Okay. But those two compete against each other, but they don't have the Super Bowl. Okay. So you're building something from scratch, is my point. So even though you throw billions of dollars and you hold millions of dollars at these golfers and you get some of the best in the world, just because you get those golfers, that doesn't mean you get to bring over all the tournaments in the history of the Masters, the US Open Championship, the British Open thing. And you could say, well, wait a minute, LIV golfers are allowed to play in those. Yes, I know, but they're not known as a LIV golf entity. It's the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. They have these tournaments, and then we have the Masters. Now, why are the major championships highly rated? Because everybody's allowed to play, okay? It's not to where a PGA Tour can keep these guys from playing in these major tournaments. However, by taking 13 of the best players in the world, and those 13 players, you can call them greedy, you can say just you would do it too, they take all this money, and they don't care. This is my opinion. They don't care if LIV Golf makes it. In fact, I bet they know LIV Golf isn't going to make it. I think they're like, listen, I'm going to take the cash cow, and then I'll always be able to come back to the PGA Tour. PGA Tour is like, listen, we're scorned. we don't want you back because that's not cool. You can't be playing on both circuits. You can't just come back and do all the fun stuff and then leave us, and then we're screwed and our ratings go down. So we got to ban you from playing in this and that. Well, that's a two-edged sword, because if you ban them from playing in your tournaments and then you don't have some of these big names, people don't watch. And that's exactly what has happened, because you have some of the best golfers in the world getting their money, cashing their checks, but they're not in front of as many people at these tournaments that they do in LIV Golf. It's different formats that have not caught on yet. And they're cashing their checks, and there's no big media deal. At the same time, the PGA Tour, they lost some of their best golfers, so they still have tournaments, but they don't have some of those great golfers. So thus, people are like, I don't know who the great golfers are anymore, because all you got's Tiger, and he's not, you know, what he was anymore, of course, clearly, and doesn't play in a lot of tournaments. And I tuned in for Phil. Phil's in LIV Golf, but I can't even find where LIV Golf's events are, so I don't care about Phil anymore. I like Rory, so maybe you tune in for Rory. Scottie Scheffler's one of the best golfers in the world, maybe the best golfer in the world, and nobody seems to even care about that guy, and he's on the PGA Tour. People don't tune in to watch Scottie Scheffler. Yeah. They tune in to watch Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy. They tune in to watch Tiger Woods, maybe... what's his name? Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. Hey, guess what? The three, those last three, Dustin Johnson, there's four. I just mentioned last four are LIV golfers. So they're not playing in these tournaments. So LIV Golf takes them away. They pay them a lot of money, but they don't have what the PGA Tour has in all the schedule and regular history, the Colonial, these tournaments, the Memorial, whatever it might be. But now these tournaments don't have the star golfers, because... What did we say yesterday about the women's college basketball ratings? Why are they so great right now? Why was LSU and Iowa so great? Because of the Hawkeye logo and the LSU Tiger logo? No, because they have two star players and one was pitted against the other, and it was a rematch of a national championship game. Who are the stars of the PGA Tour right now? Rory McIlroy isn't winning tournaments even against a not-so-good field. I can't even keep up. I don't even remember, because it seems like a guy wins a major, he's like, oh, he defects to LIV Golf and takes his check, which I don't blame him. But that's why people are not watching, because what you did, LIV Golf did it, and by the way, PGA Tour has to be considered in this equation of maybe not taking care of people as well as they could have, although I will defend the PGA Tour from this standpoint. You don't have enough money to keep them from going to that one. Okay, you just don't. So all LIV Golf does is throw a whole bunch of money, don't seem to have this gigantic, well-planned plan, and the PGA Tour is caught off guard, and it's what it's done is it's split the thing into two entities, and one is not known, it's going to take for a long time to fully establish, and the other is severely stricken with lack of stars. And so thus, Rory McIlroy, even guys on the LIV Golf side have agreed, We need to unite. Well, you were united, and you defected for billions and millions of dollars, so that's on you. I find it ironic that those guys say, we need to reunite. Phil Mickelson, you helped create this mess, okay? Now, if you want to say reunite and come on the LIV Golf Tour, then you're at least are being consistent with what you're doing. But if you're sitting there going, well, let's reunite so that we can play all these PGA Tour events, then all that was a money ploy. Which we understand. Greed is, you know, as they said on the movie Wall Street, greed is good. But it has not been good for, honestly, it hasn't been good for either entity per se. And LIV Golf ain't making money, I can tell you that. Not enough to cover this, but they got a $3 billion investment fund, so they're cool. So they can bleed cash, and it's not a big deal, at least for now. I don't know what their end game fully is, other than taking over golf in the United States. And the PGA Tour... You know, umped the purses, you know, more money for golfers. They've, you know, said you maybe don't have to play as many tournaments to be eligible for certain things. The FedEx Cup changing some things or considering things over the last year or so. But at the end of the day, if people don't watch, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You got to, they
that's
have
the
to
top
do
of
something.
The top of the list for LIV is exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. They're just not in spots where people can watch.
There's no exposure.
And so the exposure is not there. But I'm going to tell you right now, these guys that are on the LIV Tour right now don't care about that part of it, because they care about the money that they're making. Yeah. I want to go back on this as an outsider looking in, because I'm not a golf guy. But I remember, I'm going to go back to the U.S. Open that Brooks Koepka won for the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. And that's when Tiger Woods just went nuts, right? Mm-hmm. He had a great weekend. Everybody was following Tiger. Mm-hmm. Everybody was on Tiger. Everybody was talking about Tiger. And Brooks Koepka had just won his second straight U.S. Open, mm-hmm. and was the hot and upcoming golfer, right? He was the name at the time of, hey, this might be that next dude, right, that we're going to be talking about. Everything the next that Monday after that was about Tiger Woods. I came on here, you know, I actually led with Brooks Koepka winning his second U.S. Open championship because I feel like on the outside looking in, that needs to be a story for this sport right now. And the reason I said that is because we cannot ride Tiger Woods until the end of all time.
Tiger's going to die someday. Yes. Who's the next guy to grab the torch? Phil Mickelson was the only other guy.
Yeah, and you know, he's old too. It's like you're not, Phil Mickelson's not, and those yeah, are the,
I think he's eligible. He could play on a senior tour. I think he's
yeah,
eligible.
Probably so. Mm-hmm. But those are the two guys that people are riding if they're having good tournaments. And I said, as an outsider looking in, because I'm not a golf guy, right, I'm like, if this sport wants to sustain, you know, their popularity or their relevance in sports and people actually watching them.
You have to have stars.
They have to have stars, and they've got to embrace somebody other than Tiger Woods at some point.
They got to promote those stars.
And they weren't. And but then, you know, it kind of goes on, and Brooks Koepka keeps his name in the conversation. You know, he probably never has returned to what that form was when he was real hot for a while. But then the stuff with Bryson DeChambeau comes. You know, they start having this rivalry, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, and it's like, embrace that, man. Just run into it and embrace it. And I don't think the PGA has ever let go of Tiger Woods. Obviously, they haven't. He's on his board of or on their board of whatever you said. It's like they've never let go of that part of it. But at some point, I was like, if you want to advance and keep and stay relevant, you got to let go of Tiger Woods at some point and latch on to Colin Moore. To Brooks Koepka, to anybody that's winning, that's young and that can advance your sport. And what did the PGA do? In my mind, took everything they've had for granted. Just we rule this sport. Mm-hmm. We're not going to lose relevance. It's the PGA or bust. It's nothing else. So when these people start leaving, if I'm a golf fan, I'm watching PGA. I'm excited about this rivalry between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. They dislike each other to the core, and they both left and went to live.
Yes.
Like, they don't even like each other, but they both got the money. They both left and went to live. So why am I – that's like one of the hottest things going in PGA right now is the rivalry between Koepka and DeChambeau. And now they're gone. So why am I watching the PGA if Rory McIlroy is the only guy that I know?
Right.
So these guys start leaving, and you've lost some of the fun stuff – for a average person like me that doesn't watch golf, but would watch golf just to see what Bryson's going to do to Koepka during an interview this week after he wins the tournament, or whatever might take place there. And it's like, I kind of look at this and it's like the PGA kind of laid their bed here and they got a lie in it too. And I just always laughed at Monahan saying when they said that they were going to merge with LIV that the PGA won. I'm like, you didn't win anything, dude. And you still haven't won anything because like Roy McIlroy saying, like everybody's saying right now, your numbers are down.
Yes.
Because I was like, when you were talking, I'm looking at the roster. John Rahm's in LIV, and he's had a lot of success lately. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about all the other guys that
Dustin
actually
Johnson.
Mentioned, and there was a guy who was the young guy that I saw here a little bit ago that had won a tournament lately, and I didn't even know he was in LIV. And it's just like, what are we, like, who are these? Cameron Smith, that's who it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all these guys that are in LIV that people – like me didn't realize because I don't follow golf. I mean, you know, when we were doing it and they were leaving, we were talking about it all the time. Like, okay, well, this is getting serious because real people are now going to LIV.
Yes.
And I was like, there are just, I think so many people out there that thought LIV was just some weird thing that was going to last about 3 months or something just to get the PGA to do something different. And listen, the money that LIV has is sustainable to pay these guys. It's not sustainable to actually put a dent and put your name out there, but it's sustainable to pay these guys what they want to get PGA, and now you try to get in on that and shoehorn your way into the PGA, and I think that's what their goal was
the whole time.
I don't think it was to stay here for 10, 20 years. I think their goal was they've got the money. Let's bring these guys over, and now let's get our way in to the actual big time.
The people with this public investment firm, they're not stupid though. So there is an end game, okay? And so the end game is, to me, listen, if you aren't making a headway to where you can take over golf, which they're trying to do, okay? And that's why they had this like verbal agreement, which nothing's been consummated apparently. And maybe people are going, okay, well, this could be a bad thing, which I said from day one, it's a horrible thing, because you start having Saudi Arabia public investment funds take over professional sports in the United States. What's next? What sports next? Because if they can do that, imagine what else they can do. And you just said they got billions of dollars. So like they can sustain, keep paying guys, even though they're losing, hemorrhaging money. They don't care. Okay. But they do care to a point.
Sure.
Because you get to a point, like, are we not making headway here? If we're not making headway, we're hurting the PGA Tour, but are we really getting anything accomplished here? Does it really make sense to keep doing this if we're not getting to what our original goals were in the first place? Because if we're not going to get where we want to get, okay, then let's take this money and invest it in something different. Maybe it's another sports entity in the United States. Let's try something different. Or we go after tennis. Or we go after WWE. I don't know what it is. They could go after whatever. They got tons of money. So it is sustainable if they want to do this for a long time. But they're not stupid. They're not going to keep blowing money left and right for years if they don't get what they eventually are trying to do, which I don't know specifically exactly what they want to do, but I'm with you. I think that's the plan, is to control professional golf in the country, in the world, basically. I think that is the goal, and it may end up becoming realized. But they're not going to continue to shell out this money, even though they got it, for 10 years.
No, it's not a 10, 20-year thing.
It's a short-term plan to get after something more long-term if they can accomplish it. That's my point.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to believe that they won't get at least part of what they're looking for here, because all these people that are gone, and unless the PGA has some kind of cash cow that they can generate that can live up to that, just pardon the pun with live, but that's going to be difficult. Very difficult for the PGA to do that.
We'll end the show with this. So you got kind of the infighting between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, two entities. Did you see what happened? And this is, I love hockey. Like, I love hockey, not really watching on TV as much, although I've kind of gravitated towards it. Everybody knows I'm the biggest Kraken fan in the entire world.
I can see that today.
I forgot I was wearing that, actually. I kid you not, I forgot I was even wearing it. Wow, sometimes things just align, don't they? Wasn't even planned to go that way. Well done. So last night, the Rangers and the Devils, New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils. Did you see how they started their game last night?
I didn't.
Oh, dear Lord. I would have loved to have been there to watch this in person. Last night, as they dropped the opening puck, the opening faceoff at center ice, all of the 10 players on the ice, 5 for the Rangers, 5 for the Devils. I'm going to play this so Dusty can see this. Watch what happens. Listen, I'll call it here for you, folks. They dropped the puck, and they all dropped their gloves, and they went a mano a mano fight. 5 versus 5, 1-on-1. You don't think that was choreographed? Of course it was. Oh, those guys were ready to throw down. And so for those, I just talked to somebody, I think it was Jerry over at Careers Auto Parts. He goes, you know, we're talking about sports in this. And he goes, you know, the women's game is fun to watch. I said, yeah, I agree with you. And then he said, you know, another sport that's fun to watch in person but not on TV is hockey. I go, dude, I couldn't agree more. He goes, and I have to admit, the reason I love hockey is the fights. Jerry, if you're listening, pull up the video, this one. 5 fights at the same time to start the game. I mean, the only bad thing is there's nowhere to go but down if all you want is fights, because you ain't going to get anything better than that. Everybody on the ice fighting except for the goalies. And the goalies are sitting back here going, can you believe these idiots are punching each other in the head while we're just getting here drinking some water out of a Gatorade bottle? And look at this. It's a minute and a half long clip, and there's 2 people left.
Yeah, just right at center ice.
Right at
just
center ice.
Let's go.
I did not know that we had professional boxing on the ice. Actually, yeah, I kind of did.
Kind of did,
but,
yeah.
I mean, this is awesome. If these guys want to beat their heads in, that's their choice. They chose to play hockey, and they want to be enforcers. That's great and all. But the crowd is going insane. They're all on their feet standing. It's like a WWE, but it's real boxing match. Okay? It's like boxing combined with WWE. And that's how they started the game last night between the Rangers and the Devils. Ladies and gentlemen, pull it up. Google it. Go Devils versus Rangers opening game brawl. It is awesome.
Awesome. And then they actually played hockey, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't even care who won.
They'd be, yeah, they'd be like, are you that hockey fan that doesn't care about the game and only cares about fights? Well, guess what we have in store
for
you?
Come to the Ranger game where 10 guys will fight in the first 2.5 minutes.
Look what we have for you tonight.
I love it. I love it.
That's wild.
I love it. If they're all 10 willing to throw down, and the other thing that's crazy is they can maintain their balance, throw haymakers while they're skating. That's insane to me.
Oh, the whole thing of just the regular stuff that you do playing hockey while you're skating.
Stop on a dime to find a
little
puck.
Doing all that and keeping your feet, and you know, some of them aren't keeping their feet, but it's just whoever wins the fight on that deal. But yeah, it's... That's wild. That'd been ridiculous to actually been in the place to see that.
I'm telling you, hockey athletes are the most underappreciated athletes perhaps in the world. Because it's like a combination of rugby, football on skates with padding, but then have to hit and then trying to hit a golf ball, except it's a puck that slides. And it's hard to even see on TV, let alone how do you see it when it gets hit so fast the other way and then some guy's body checking into the boards. And oh, by the way, you can get cut by a skate. I mean, and then you're trying to get it past some big, huge goalie in front of a small little entrance.
Yeah.
I think hockey is so underappreciated, in particular the athletes. And so, you know, we talk about professional sports teams. The state of Kansas has a fund, as we said before, in case you missed it, 80% of the legalized sports betting money in the state of Kansas goes to into a fund to attract professional sports teams to the state of Kansas. And everybody talks about the Royals, and everybody talks about the Chiefs, okay? And hey, listen, if they come to Kansas, I'm all good with it. They stay in Missouri, I'm all good with it. I don't care as long as they stay nearby. I'm cool with it, okay? I'm a Chiefs-Royals fan. Please don't go to Dallas. Please don't go to Salt Lake City. Stay in Kansas, or stay in Missouri, go to Kansas, go to North KC. I'm all good with any of that. But everybody's focused on the Chiefs and the Royals. But I would love for Kansas City to have a professional hockey team. And you know what? Put it right over next to Sporting Park. Put it right there near Legends. Let that be the first professional sports team. And then you build that, maybe then the Royals or Chiefs would come after that. Now, that's not going to more likely happen. But what I'm saying is that the NBA, I don't know. I think there's enough college basketball. I'm not big in the NBA being in Kansas City like some people. And I'm a little sour on the NBA. I don't think the product's as good. I mean, there's great athletes, don't get me wrong. Amazing scorers, but I don't like how it's so loose now in regards to they don't call anything anymore, blah, blah, blah. It's artificial, produced noise when I've gone to NBA games. I've been to a playoff game, but I've been the Thunder is the best. I've been told by many people who have gone to multiple NBA games. They say the Thunder is the best atmosphere. I've been to Thunder, you know, a handful of times, and it's cool and all, but it's nothing compared to Allen Fieldhouse. It's nothing compared to going, it's not, to me, it's nothing compared to going to an Avalanche hockey game that I saw in person. It's not even close.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're going to bring to Kansas City, and you still have people that are now Thunder fans that maybe you're not going to change their allegiance and go become a Kansas City, whatever they want to call them. And they've had the NBA there, okay? We know it didn't work, and they moved and went to to Sacramento and whatever. I've been one of those people. I'm not a gigantic hockey fan, but I think professional hockey, believe it or not, would make more sense for Kansas City if you're going to add a professional sports team than the NBA. Because on top of that, you got some diehard college fan bases in basketball. And some people argue, well, that's why you need the NBA. No, I would argue you have enough basketball that those are what your diehard situations anyway. And it's going to take a while for you to build up, especially if it's an expansion NBA team. It's going to take a while for you to build up your love for that team. And the same thing would happen with hockey. I get it. But I just think I don't know. I think hockey would do well in Kansas City. I do. I may be wrong, but I think it would do well. And the closest hockey team you have is St. Louis, and you have the Avs. Whereas the NBA, the Thunder, are fairly close. And of course, they're very good and have been for a while. So if I had to choose one of the two, I would go with hockey. Now, which game do I play more and do I usually watch more? Yes, it's basketball. But I will tell you, it was a lot cheaper to go to an Avalanche hockey game than an NBA game. And I had way more fun, and I didn't have this horrible loud music throwing in, and every 2 seconds, defense! Defense! Like, can we come up with a different chant?
Yeah.
And by the way, can't the fans create their own emotion? And you know what? You go to a college game, sometimes they'll throw up something about get loud, or they'll play a little bit of music. But it's usually, if the product on the court is doing well, the fans take care of the atmosphere. And the NBA is nothing like that. It's nothing like that. And hockey, by the way, is where I've been. So I would vote for that. Art Baker, I don't know who Art Baker is, but he puts on Twitter, "Hey, Royals and Chiefs, we have space, hit me up." And they have a big circle around Clifton Clyde Senior High School in the football field. I've been there, and I don't think it might be big enough. But there is farmland to the north, so maybe we can make it work.
I think Art's the principal at Clifton Clyde.
Is he?
If I can he's in administration at Clifton Clyde.
Hell of an idea, my man.
He's a good dude. I've got to talk to him.
Art, put it on the Clifton Clyde ballot. I'll vote for it. Okay? Yes, yes, and yes. I don't think Mark Donovan and the Chiefs are going to do that.
Darn it.
Or Clark Hunt. But, you know, you never know unless you try, right?
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.